Hundreds of people from around the world are in Bonn, Germany today to edit a document. If that news doesn't grab you, there's this. What they are doing could affect the future of the planet. They're working on a draft of a major United Nations agreement to control greenhouse gas emissions that are changing the Earth's climate. NPR correspondent Nell Greenfield-Boyce has spent almost her entire life writing and being edited. She wondered what it's like when there are editors from nearly 200 countries.
When I found out that climate change negotiations all boil down to writing and editing a document, I was astonished. I mean, anyone who's ever written something and then been edited knows that this can be a nightmare, even in the best of circumstances. I asked my editor, Allison Richards, what it was like to edit me. She tried to be diplomatic.
Editing is an intense process. When you're editing, you have to trust each other.
But what if you don't trust each other?
Then it's a fight.
Luckily, we trust each other. And when we edit a story like the one you're hearing now, it's just the two of us going at it. But the UN is a whole different ball game. The current UN meeting in Germany involves professional negotiators from basically every country in the world, rich and poor, big and small. And in their past negotiations on climate change, there hasn't been a lot of trust. Still, together they've got to edit a document called a negotiating text. Anyone can get a copy. I'm printing the English version, but the UN website has it in Chinese, Russian, Arabic, Spanish, French. It was produced earlier this year in Geneva. At that meeting, to build trust and goodwill, negotiators could throw in any proposed text they wanted. The result is 90 pages long, a jumbled patchwork of ideas for how countries should rein in their emissions and deal with climate change. New Zealand's climate change ambassador, Joe Tyndall, told me it's a mess of a text.
That it's got so many options and variations, it's unreadable.
Is that the general consensus?
I suspect so. Because it's been a compilation of views, I doubt that anyone would say that we can readily write an agreement purely on the basis of this text. We have to make considerable changes to it.
During the next 11 days, negotiators will start making those changes.
They are wrangling over language, even to the point of it being commas sometimes.
Jennifer Morgan is global director of the climate change program at a nonprofit called the World Resources Institute. She's been watching these kinds of climate meetings for two decades. She says this time in Bonn, facilitators from Switzerland, Colombia, Norway, Zambia will lead groups that will focus on sections of the text that deal with topics like mitigation, adaptation, finance, technology.
Sometimes they literally will put the text that they're working on onto a screen so everybody can see what text that they are talking about. And they will even sometimes edit it right on the screen.
She says small word changes can have huge consequences. For example, should the text say countries shall do something or countries may do something?
That means a lot. Whether it's all countries should do this or just the developed countries should do this means a lot. And they spend hours and hours going through trying to come to an agreement.
And sometimes acceptance of one change is contingent on getting another change.
A country might only be willing to agree on the edit in this paragraph on finance if some paragraph in another part of the text gets tweaked in another way.
Then there are the brackets.
Brackets are famous in the climate negotiations. If you have brackets around a paragraph, it means it's not agreed.
Right now, on every page, there are brackets around paragraphs and also around sentences, phrases, individual words. Brackets are everywhere. The goal for this meeting in Bonn is not to come to agreement on everything and remove the brackets. Negotiators really just want to streamline the text and eliminate any repetition so that the key areas of disagreement become clear. Gus Silva Chavez is a climate change policy expert and an environmental group called Forest Trends. He says, don't forget, all of this careful wordcraft is being done by people who speak dozens of different languages.
The negotiations are done technically in six languages, but I would say 99% of them are in English. So a lot of times with the African group, with the Latin Americans, there's a lot of questions about what some of these concepts and words mean.
He thinks this would be a successful meeting if they could whittle this text down from 90 pages to less than 50.
But even then, it's really just cleaning up the text. It's not an actual negotiation where options are eliminated.
That will happen in the coming months when the negotiation will really get intense.
The average person doesn't understand that this affects everything. And this is probably the most complex negotiation that the world has ever had.
He says the words in this document will influence how countries produce their energy, grow their food, how much they'll adapt to climate change, and how much they'll do to fight against it.
While sometimes these texts get really long and really complex, that is because this is a really complex issue, and there's no easy path out of this.
The last meeting to work on this agreement is scheduled for the end of this year in Paris. There, negotiators hope to hammer out a final text that virtually every nation can accept. A thing of beauty, maybe 10 to 20 pages, with no brackets. Nell Greenfield-Boyce, NPR News.